नमो ओम विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रस्ताय भूदले श्रीमदे भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रजारिणी निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणी श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। सो यानिशा सर्वभूतानां अस्यां जागर्ते संयमि यस्यां जाग्रति भूतानि सानिशा पश्यतो मुने। दैट इज द वर्ड्स वी आर डिस्कसिंग एंड इन द श्रीमद्भागवतम इफ यू लुक इन टू द थर्ड कैंटो कपिल वासुदेव सेज टू देवहूति देवी मोर ऑर लेस इन द सिमिलर वे that the person who is who has spiritual understanding, he would not see other living entity, he would not see Krishna's presence, he would see Krishna's presence in other living entities as more important than seeing Krishna in the deity. This one point you will mention there, that if you look into verse 21, aham sarveshu bhuteshu Bhudatmavastida sada. This is in the Bhagavadam, not in the Bhagavad Gita. Verse 21 in the third canto, in 29th chapter, Krishna, where Kapila Vasudev says to Devahuti Devi, Aham sarveshu bhudeshu bhudatma avastida sada tam avajnaya mam martya kurude archa vidambanam. Krishna is, Kapila Maharshi is saying to Devahuti that one who does not see me in every living entity, present there as the soul. Aham sarveshu bhudeshu bhudalma. Bhudalma means the soul within that living entity. Avasthita sada, all the time. Tam avajnaya mam martya. And who ignores that and engages in only worshipping me in the deity form. Archa vidambanam. Vidambanam means he is actually insulting me. That's a strong words there. That one who simply seeing only Krishna absolutely present in the deity, completely ignoring the presence in other living entities and worshipping me in the deity only, is to be considered in that way. That is a great mistake, he says. Yomam sarveshu bhudeshu sandam atmanam ishwaram hitvama bhajade mautyad basmanyeva juhodisa. That sometimes some people, they will be very serious about deity worship, but when it comes to dealing with others, they become very very cruel and very harsh with others, and that is not he will never be peaceful, he says. Hitvamam bhajade maudhyat basmanyeva juhodisa, that he will never have any peace inside for such people. Dushada parakayemam manino bhinadarshina bhudeshu baddha vairasya na manashanti vachadi. That dushade paragayemam, that I am present in everyone, and if you simply develop dvesham towards others, to other bodies, manino bhinnadarshina, they are only seeing the bhinnadarshitam. Bhinnadarshitam means not seeing Krishna's presence in all, rather seeing everyone is separate and different from Krishna. And bhudeshu baddha vairasya, and developing vairam, enmity in that way. So, in that way, Krishna is here that his mind will never become peaceful. Then, at the end, he says, Athamam sarveshu bhudeshu bhudhalpmanam kritalayam arhayed dhanamanabhyam maitreya abhinyena chakshusha. Again, the same thing stressed. Athamam sarveshu bhudeshu bhudhalpmanam kritalayam. He says here that in knowing very well that it's me who is present in everyone's heart, doing what is pleasing for them in order to give them the happiness, the devotee will do such a thing, that he will not do everything what is possible in his capacity to please others. And this understanding that Krishna is present in everyone is Vaisharadi Buddhi. Remember Vaisharadi Buddhi we spoke about before. And when this anubhuti or this experience becomes clearer inside, and at that point the whole world becomes Krishna's manifestation, is experienced everywhere. So once there was a sannyasi by name Tapavana Swami, and his disciple, they were in Himalayas. So at that time the disciple is saying this, that his spiritual master Tapavana Swami, he was looking at the sun, the mountains and the forests and everything, and he was experiencing Krishna there, where I was seeing everywhere the stone, the earth and the only in its material form. So that vision, difference in the vision, sometimes you experience that. People who have gone beyond their beyond the material world, they left this material world, their vision has gone to the spiritual world, that they will see in everywhere Krishna's presence, even in the sunrise, sunset, all these things. It's a experience for them that Krishna's energy is flowing through in all these directions. So the realization is this, that the soul advanced in that way will not see this creation anymore like the way conditioned soul sees this. It goes beyond than that. The understanding goes beyond than that. So the main reason when that happens is that the vasanas inside have completely gone away. Vasana chayam or vasana shunyam they call it. There is no vasanas inside. Ragadvesham is not there anymore. So when it's completely purified, the person sees everything from a spiritual position, spiritual angle, in other words. So after that, Krishna moves on to the next verse. And this verse also requires a lot of introduction, what Krishna is saying here. Because these last 3-4 verses are particularly very important. And you will notice also one thing, when you read through these verses, Krishna talks about one or two important things. First thing is that the desires must go from inside. All desires must go. What Krishna has spoken in the first verse, that is, Prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partha manogadan almenyu almanatushtam sthidhir muni vichyade. He started with that, isn't it? So, that Prajahadi yada kaman sarvan kaman avasthidan. That is important, because that's what he is saying in all these things. In all the next 2-3 verses you will see that. So we have heard Bhagavad Gita so much now, and sometimes our understanding was, we learned how to experience that going inwards. What does that mean, isn't it? To quite an extent Krishna is explaining that, the importance of staying inside rather than going outside. So even though it has gone in sometimes, it still goes back again to the world outside. So this antarmukhatvam, what is going on inside, Krishna has given a name for that before, if you remember, that it was called vyavasayatmika buddhi. Krishna gives a name for that. That is antarmukhatvam. That means vyavasayatmika buddhi ekeha kurunandana bhushaga anandascha buddhayo avyavasayinam. These are words we spoke before. So Krishna was saying there that vyavasayatmika buddhi is the first step in that direction. That this chapter what we are reading now, Sankhya Yogam, what is mentioned here is Sankhyam. Sankhyam is an important philosophical part of Vedic literature. That it is from Sankhyam Jnana Yogam has come. Jnana Yogam is based on Sankhyam. Sankhyam is from Kapila Maharshi, Lord Kapila, who is in the third canto, we study about him. So Kapila Vasudev, who spoke to Devahuti Devi, he developed Sankhyam. So the Sankhyam is basis of Jnanam. There is very little difference between Sankhyam and Jnanam. So that Sankhyam was explained, Krishna has explained Sankhyam in the second chapter, in the beginning, for quite a many verses, isn't it? So, therefore, all the remaining chapters is all expansion of this chapter, this second chapter. The main thing what Krishna has spoken in this is, first, is to develop the Vyavasayatmaya Buddhi. Vyavasayatmaya Buddhi. Vyavasaya Buddhi means, what actually it is, we'll repeat that, to know what the purpose of the life is, the goal of life is, and a mind which is completely fixed on that. In other words, he has decided like that and firm on that point, that the life is meant for self-realization, to know what I am. And a person who has fixed his, made his decision in that way, and keeps his life on that track all the time, that is Vyavasayatmaya Buddhi. So, and one whose mind, intelligence doesn't move away from that, he is fixed on that, and an insight inside to make know that this is the only goal in life, there is nothing else. In other words, priority for this above everything all, everything else in life. There is a big difference for a person who has made a decision like that and a person who hasn't made the decision. A person who has made the decision or has got this Vyavasayatmaya Buddhi and who doesn't have that, there is a great difference in that. Upanishads also talks about that. Lord Buddha says about that. And you can also see that difference in people who are practicing spiritual life. In practicing spiritual life. This is where the religion splits into two. One is called religion and the other one is called spiritual life. This is where that split happens. In religion, we are living a material life and we include God into that. Then it is religion. In spiritual life, we exclude material life, only God exists. There is a difference like that. That means religion is, they keep their material life happy. They are religious, keep their material life happy, and they, in order to keep their life going and material life happy, they also include God in that. God is included in that process, and that is religion. Spiritual life, adhyatmam, adhyatmam it is referred to, adhyatmigata, in other words, that in there only God exists, only Krishna exists there. And that person who is living based on this adhyatmam, only his decision is Vyavasayatmaya Buddhi. You see? One Vyavasayatmaya Buddhi will be there only for that person. Not for the religious person. Religious person cannot have Vyavasayatmaya Buddhi. Why? Because it is completely mixed with his material life all the time. So there is a clear demarcation there between religion and spiritual life. Spiritual life is called Adhyatmam and religious life is called Matam. In Shastram that's the word Matam. Hindu Matam, Christa Matam, or Islam Matam, you can call like that, the religion, Christian religion, Muslim religion, Hindu religion, that's all Matam or religion. Spiritual life is Adhyatmam. On Adhyatmam level, it is a big difference. And Adhyatmam, Krishna says, in only in Adhyatmic state, you can have Vyavasayatmaya Buddhi, what Krishna spoke about in this chapter. Vyavasayatmaya Buddhi, Egeha Kurunandana. Bhagushala Anandascha Buddhayo Avyavasayina. So in that, if you take the first two lines, Vyavasayatmaya Buddhi Egeha Kurunandana, that is for spiritual life. Bhagushala Anandascha Buddhayo Avyavasayina, that's for religion. See that difference between the two. That the first two lines are related to spiritual life. The other two lines are related to religious life. So many people say they are religious. Yes, they are religious. But they have not set this goal in life that spiritual realization is the goal of life. That goal has not been set in them. They are religious people. They live their life and they include Krishna also as a part of their life in this world. So, if you remember that, Rasayalpiyabuddhi Egeha Kurunandana. Their Rasayalpiyabuddhi, one who has got, it is Egeham, it is fixed. The goal is fixed. One-pointed, single-minded, it is. Egeha Kurunandana. Bahushakha Anandascha. Others who have got Bahushakha, many branches it is, because they have to maintain their happy life in this world. Bhukshaha anandascha buddhayo. Their buddhi is avyavasayinam. It is not vyavasayam anymore. This is not one-pointed anymore. So that difference we must notice there. That means that then Krishna says, boga aishwarya prasaktanam taya abhakrata sedasam. Isn't it? Boga aishwarya prasaktanam taya abhakrata sedasam. If you remember that verse earlier, that was in the Bhogeshwara 244. First one was 241, which is Vyavasayalpiya Buddhi Egeha Kurunandana Bhushaga Hyanandascha Buddhayo Avyavasayinam. That is the first one we talked about. Then if you look into 44, the verse, you will see there that the Krishna says Vyavasayalpiya Buddhi Samadhau Na Vidhiyate, that Bhogaishwarya Prasaktanam Taya Apakrata Chedasam Vyavasayalpiya Buddhi Samadhau Na Vidhiyate. So those two verses you have to keep in mind. Krishna says Samadhau Na Vidhiyate, that Krishna is saying here that in conclusion of that the Bhogeshwarya Prasaktanam Taya Apakrata Chedasam Vyavasayalpiya Buddhi Samadhau Na Vidhiyate, that one who has no Vyavasayalpiya Buddhi, it is impossible for him to get this message through. Which one? This message Krishna is talking about the soul. It is impossible to get it through, he says here. That, but those who have this Vyavasayalpiya Buddhi, for them what happens is, he says, a message will fall into their intelligence. A message will fall into their intelligence. In Vedanta philosophy, particularly in Kathopanishad, it says like that. Upanishads also says like this. Sharvanayabi bahubhir no labhyaha, na labhyaha. Shrunandovi bahavo yamna vidyu. Ashcharya vakta kushalosya labdha, ashcharyojnyada kushalana shishta. It is a verse from the Kathopanishad. Upanishad is saying that sharanayavi bahubir no labhyaha. Those who are in that consciousness, who do not have this vyavasayalpiya buddhi, or who are into religion, they may hear about this, but they won't get it. That's the Kathopanishad statement. Shrunayabhi bahubir na labhyaha. Shrunundobi bahavo yamna vidyu. That even if you have heard, you will got it, still you won't understand it. Even if you got it, you won't understand it. Shrunundobi bahavo yamna vidyu. Even if they have heard it many times, they won't get it. Ashcharyu vakta kushalosya labdha. Ashcharyu jnana kushalana shishta. That means a person who is speaking about it, and if he has spoken it is also properly, then it's also an ascharyam. It's an amazing thing. It's talking about the soul now. Kushalosya labdha. And one who has managed to get it is also kushala. He is fortunate. Kushalosya labdha. Ascharyo jnana kushalana shishta. that one who is known this, properly understood this, he is clever. He has got the message properly. Kushalana Shishta. Same is the person who has managed to get it from him, from that person. So in Upanishads, this statement is there that first thing it falls into through our ears, goes to the intelligence, and in the intelligence that it develops in the form of mumukshatva. Mumukshatva means an intense desire for liberation from material life. And it is then that it takes the form of a spiritual master and comes in front of us. This message that has gone in, it goes into our intelligence and then takes the form of a spiritual master and comes in front of us. So, what is that message? That this message is this, that the instruction, what the spiritual master is, that first thing, everybody follows in this world a particular pattern of life, isn't it? Our normal nature, what everybody else does, we also do the same thing. This is very much in everyone, isn't it? This nature to follow others. What others are doing, we also do the same thing. So, from this to come out is very difficult. From this thinking, it's very difficult to come out. Out of many, many people, hardly anyone thinks different and act independently. When we talk about what we mean by that is, Upanishads are saying that it's only in rare cases who develops that intelligence from the early days in life to move out of the society and to inquire after the truth. That happens to only very, very rare cases, isn't it? Majority of us, we, in the usual way, we live our life and get married and then get the job and work and earn and live like that and go away from this world. But few people only who makes that decision at a much early age in life to leave everything and search after the truth, which is the what all Brahmajijnasa is a goal, as Shastram is saying. But that doesn't happen to most of the people. Everybody falls into the other category. So when one is fortunate, Krishna says that you will get that message at the right time in life, before it's too late, and then he will change his, make that decision to move away from this gadani gadiyattvam. That's what they show in Shastram. Gadani gadiyattvam means we'll follow what our parents have done, or their parents have done, or their parents have done, like that, or following the ancestors in a particular way. That is gadani gadiyattvam. That means following what people have done in the past, we'll all follow the same thing. We won't think anything more than that. They lived like that, we'll also want to live like that, in the same way. So, in order to explain that, nobody wants to move away from that, from a system, what is existing in this world. It's the very nature of this world, isn't it? One Brahmana went to Benares, and people go to Benares to bathe in Ganga River. Isn't it? Because it's close to Prayag and there is all the three rivers, Ganga, Yamuna and Saraswati joins together. Triveni they call it, and Triveni people go to bathe there. So it's an auspicious place to bathe. So, and Gangasnanam they call it. So people go there. So one Brahmana went there, he had a copper pot with him. And with this copper pot when he went there, he thought that if I leave the copper pot outside on the bank, river bank, somebody may snatch it, take it away. So what he did was, he dug in the sand, put the copper pot inside and covered it with the sand. And then on top of that, he, with the sand, he made a Shivalingam on top of that, a lingam, Shiva's lingam on top of that. Then he thought, I will go and bathe in the river and come back. So, when he finished bathing and he came back, he saw there were so many Shivalingas everywhere. Because a lot of other people who had come, they have seen him doing this. And when they saw that, they also thought that that's how we have to bathe. So, they also dug earth and they made a Shivalingam, they all gone. So, he couldn't find out which one was his. So he says there at that time, this is a very famous personality, Appaya Dikshidhar is name. He says, Gadanu Gadigo Loga, Na Logo Paramarthigaha. Then, Ganga Sangyada Lingeshu, Nashtamme Tamra Bhajanam. He said this at that point, this is the words he spoke. It says, Gadanugatiko Loga. In this world, everyone follows the others. What others are doing, they will also do it. Na Logo Paramarthikaha. They are not at all interested in the Paramarthikam. Paramarthikam means the absolute thing. They are just interested in following what everybody else is doing in this world. We also do exactly the same way. He is seeing the way people are acting. That's what he said. Gadani gadigo loga na loga paramarthikaha. Ganga saigadi lingeshu. What has happened is that I have this Shivalingam what I have installed, it's all confusion to me now. Ganga saigadi lingeshu, the made of the sand lingeshu. Nashtam me tamra bhajanam. All what has happened is I lost my copper pot. He says this is what is the result of that. By and because others have this tendency, he says there, that that you can see this sometimes. Everywhere if you observe carefully, you will see this tendency. If one says Haribol, everybody leaves Haribol straight away. Isn't it? So where is this coming from? It is this Gadanigadiyato in us. That when somebody else does, we also have to. Otherwise, we think we have outcast or something. Immediately, you start raising the hands. You have to do like that, isn't it? One has taken initiation, everybody has to get initiated straight away. So, we feel like that. This is how the pressure builds up on people. You're not allowing people to think on their own. If somebody tries to be a little different, everybody put all the pressure on that person to do that. So, this is Gadanigadiyatvam. Gadanigadiyatvam means this. That independent thinking goes away from a person. He cannot think anymore independently. So, what one has done, everybody else has to do the same thing. They gave the example, a group of people went to sea looking for a treasure. So they're looking for treasure and one person went and fell into a pit, a deep pit. He went and fell in there. So, another person also came that way. So he pulled that person also into it, the same pit. In this way what happened was many people came one after the other, they all fall into the same pit. But suddenly one person thought that that is not the right thing to do. So everybody started chastising him, ostracizing him, saying that why you don't come, we are all searching for that, why don't you join us here. So this is the nature of this world, Gadanigadigatvam. Even if they are all going in the wrong track, still, if one person tries to go in the right direction, we will pull him also into the same track what we are all in. Isn't it? When we are all got into the wrong track, it doesn't matter, you should also join us. That is the principle of this world. Gadanigadigatvam. So, that is the nature of this world. So what is important? Sense enjoyment, wealth, position, and if all these things are considered as important in life, then his mind is difficult to stay in spiritual life. It's very difficult to stay in spiritual life. Samadhi, or in other words, Shanti, has no other meaning than that. We talk about God or Ishvara, controller. And even that meaning is, that also word doesn't make any sense because we will misunderstand God in the form, some imagination we will develop in ourselves about God. When you talk about God, people will develop some misunderstanding about God. Some person is sitting somewhere else and all that. But if you read the second chapter, you'll understand. God is something to be experienced within. It's not something we always think in terms of always a person so far away, beyond our understanding. Beyond our experience. Krishna is pointing out, presence of God is in us. Also you experience in the form of Shanti, peace inside. Krishna gives importance to that peace more than the concept that somewhere else somebody exists as a God with whom we have trying to connect in that way. So, Krishna consciousness means that this realization of Krishna within everyone, Ishvara Sakshalkaram, or Krishna self-realization means this Shanti. So, in the Shandoyam Alma, in the Brahma Upanishads, it's a statement like that. And Shruti says there, plenty of Shanti, plenty of peace inside. Shanti, everybody knows. Shanti is our nature. So, once one has decided that I want this shanti or peace inside, that for that reason, once that is a goal inside, and for that intelligence which is fixed in that way, it's called Vyavsayatmika Buddhi. Yeah? Vyavsayatmika Buddhi is not, remember this, Vyavsayatmika Buddhi is not that I will go back home back to Godhead after death. Vyavsayatmika Buddhi, Krishna is saying here, right now in this world, while living within this body, if our goal is to achieve that peace with inside, because of self-realization, that is Vyavsayatmika Buddhi. For such a person, definitely, the bhakti and other state of experience of Krishna, personal level, is on a higher platform. Much comes later, after self-realization. That's the bhakti Krishna is talking about. But first thing is, this shandi, mrityatvamam shandi mrachadi, Krishna says, isn't it, later on, that, where does he say that? In the, bhoktaram yajnatapasam, sarvaloka maheshwaram, sukhrutam sarvabhudanam, yatvamam shandi mrachadi. So first thing is that shandi. Shandi should come inside before we talk about the bhakti, what Krishna says later. So in the second chapter, the shandi is spoken very much about this shandi. So the shandi, Krishna says here, that one group of people who is looking for the shandi or peace inside, they should go with the Vyavsayatmika Buddhi. They will have Vyavsayatmika Buddhi because they know everything they will do in this life will be with the goal of developing this Vyavsayatmika Buddhi will be there in them for achieving this peace. Shandi means peace inside, attaining that peace inside. There is another group of people who are for sense enjoyment, wealth, and they give importance to all other things in this world. They will never have the shandi inside. Peace is not possible for them. Samadhav na vidhiyade, Krishna says. For them, samadhav na vidhiyade. So, Shruti, Veda says to us, one should reflect on these things very carefully and come to this conclusion. What is Vyavsayatmika Buddhi and what does shanti means? Shanti means. In the Kathopanishad, you will see there this verse which we have spoken before. That Shreyascha, Prayascha, isn't it? Shreyas and Prayas, two things. Krishna says, the Upanishad says there that the Shreyascha, Prayascha, Manishya Medam. So, Samparitya Vivinakti Dhiraha Shreyohi Dhirobi Prayaso Vranite Prayo Mando Yoga Shemant Vranite. There is a verse in the Kathopanishad. Says here, Shreyascha Prayasa Manishya Medam. Shreyas and prayas, two things. It comes and stands before us. Shreyas and prayas. And it is up to us to choose what we want. Whether we want prayas or whether we want Shreyas. Shreyohi Dhirobi Prayaso Vrinite. One who chooses Shreyas, he is Dhira. And Prayo Mando Yoga Kshemad Vrinite. And one who chooses Prayas, he is Manda. Manda means less intelligence. Dull. So, what does that mean? Shreyascha Prayascha is the Kathopanishad says there. The process of Shreyas is directing towards liberation, shandi within oneself, or the path of shandi leads to liberation. The path of shandi leads to liberation. You can say like this: Shreyas and prayas is something like peace and power. Peace is shandi. So from Shreyas comes Shandi, which is peace. From prayas comes Shakti, strength, and then power associated with that. So that is the difference between Shreyas and prayas. Shreyas brings Shandi, which leads to mukti or liberation. Prayers bring shakti, which leads into power. Shakti leads to power. So, you can see this. Everywhere those who are running after power, they will never have peace inside. Because in order to become powerful in this world, the mind has to go outwardly, isn't it? Mind has to go outwardly. Only then it becomes powerful. Because it wants to control many things in this world. It wants to establish itself. So the mind goes out straight away. The one who has not inward looking, his mind is always outside looking for to become powerful somewhere or the other, like through wealth or followers or through name and fame in different ways. Their mind is external, in other words. So those whose mind are external, they'll become powerful. And that is prayers. That is prayers. So here, as long as the mind is going external, it'll become more and more powerful. That is the nature of the mind. Mind, when it goes external, it becomes more and more powerful. When the mind goes inwards and goes towards its center, it'll become more and more peaceful. That is Shreyas. So you can see where the problem is with everyone, all of us, isn't it? More we allow for the mind to go external, it will try to become powerful by wants to be the controller, in other words. The controlling nature develops from there. So all the great sages and the great acharyas, they always stayed within. They go inwards all the time. Even if they were acting externally, outwardly in the world, their vision was always internal. There was not outside. But normally in the world, what do you see? All material powerful people in this world, the material world, most all their vision is external, isn't it? Outwardly. So that's why when you see some people, they are very powerful. But when you talk to them about spiritual life, nothing has an impact on them. They have no impact on them. Because it's always outward. Ones whose vision is so totally outward, external. Bahirmukhatvam it is called. Bahirmukhatvam, andarmukhatvam. Bahirmukhatvam means external looking. One whose mind is external looking, for him it's difficult to develop spiritual understanding of life. Very difficult. And they will become powerful because they are after prayers. Immediate success in life. They want to control others, become powerful in this world. Those who are after Shreyas. Shreyas, Upanishads are saying, is something different than that. Shreyas means Shanti inside, first thing. Peace inside. Not too bothered. You're not interested in controlling others or becoming powerful in this world. That goal is not there. On the other hand, we are looking for Shanti inside, peace inside, which eventually leads to liberation from in this world. Therefore, if you want to become powerful, you have to send your mind outwardly and allow that to deal with the different objects in this world and start influencing that. Isn't it? That's what all the powerful men do. They try to go outwardly and try to influence others. But power will develop from that. Shanti won't come from that. And wherever the mind is going external, from there we have to withdraw the mind from that positions and ask the mind to go inward looking. So both these possibilities are there in front of us, all of us. Path of Shanti and the path of Shakti. Shanti is peace, which is centered around the inward-looking nature. And Shakti is that thing which is coming from outside. So, so person who is who has that knowledge of to discriminate between however tempting it may be, even if it is very, very tempting from outside to become powerful in this world and to develop that authority and supremacy in this world, even though it may be very tempting, he will still think that beyond than that it is much beneficial to have that Shanti inside. That's a big decision to make in life. Generally in the youth, our mind first thing goes only outwardly, isn't it? Very difficult to get that thought of looking inwards, especially in the youth. Even if somebody tells you about that, it won't go in. It will simply won't go in. It will go outwardly. And to give up that path of Shakti, Shakti Margam, and give it to the takes of the path of Shandi is very rare among people. So for a person who has discrimination, these both things are in front of him. What we are discussing is Shreyas and Prayas, two things. It stands in front of us to make that decision, for us to make that decision. At some point in life, you have to make that decision. That what if you are looking for liberation, Krishna is saying, if you want to free yourself from the cycle of birth and death, you have to make this very, very important decision in life, that Shanti and the peace, what is required as the first step in that direction, Krishna says, it will only happen if the mind withdraw from the world outside. So, and that selection, Krishna has given it to us. It's up to us to make that decision. And the word he has used, Vyavasayatmika Buddhi, will engage in that Shanti, process of Shanti. And it will go inwards. One who wants Shakti, for him, Krishna says, Bahushaka Anandascha Buddhayo Avyavasayinam. And whatever, for him, it is, important thing is, there are so many opportunities in this world for such a person, for whom, who is looking for Shakti or strength from the world outside. Then he wants to keep so many people under his control. And what happens is, a person who has gone in that way, for him, his mind will become many branched. His mind will become many branched because it is centered around many, many objects. Isn't it? It's centered around many, many objects. That is the reason when the yogis develop siddhis, all these siddhis are, those who have got siddhis, they will never have peace inside. That also important thing. That the yogis, when they develop siddhis, or those who have achieved siddhis, you will notice that they will never have peace inside. Many times have you noticed that some of the noble scientists and all have committed suicide at the end. Why is that? Because these scientific discoveries also is nothing but a siddhi. It is a siddhi that they have very intensely focused on something in life to develop certain capabilities, isn't it? In that process, they came across with the inventions. That's what siddhi means. That all siddhis are developed in that way, isn't it? Your one single-minded devotion to some discovery. You are searching after something, some idea has stuck into your head, and then try to solve that. You have gone in that direction, working very hard, and eventually you have succeeded in that. That is a siddhi. It's the same thing with Aishwarya siddhis also, in the same way. So when siddhis develop, what happens is that you become powerful. It achieves strength in this world, isn't it? Any siddhi, for that matter. And that siddhi eventually won't bring you any happiness inside. There is no peace inside. Because it is a kind of shakti that you have developed from that siddhi. So therefore, in the Patanjali's Yoga Sutram, if you study, you will see this. He mentions there, Yogi Andarayaha Uthana Dashayam Siddhayaha. When siddhis are developing in the yoga system, Ashtanga Yogam, Yogi Andarayam. Andarayam means that it is actually an obstacle, siddhi. The siddhis are actually an obstacle. Krishna also says the same thing later in the Ekadasha Skandam, you will see that. When you start practicing yoga system, Ashtanga Yogam, in the process, while following that process, at some stages, some siddhis will develop in some persons. Siddhis will develop. And if you get captivated by the siddhis and go after that, your yoga system won't progress further. So that's why Patanjali says, Yogam Andarayaha Uthana Dashayam Siddheha. Uthana Dasha means that you have just started waking up, progressing in your spiritual path. That means you have left your initial state and you have started going up, start making that progress. At that time, it's the siddhis develop in life. And when siddhis come, Uthana Dasha is called that stage when you keep developing, development stage. So in that development stage, when siddhis are come, they are Andarayam. Andarayam means they are becoming obstacles to you. So Krishna says that in the Bhagavatam, how it's mentioned is that when one has achieved that state of perfection in through knowledge or renunciation, and demigods will come as Andarayam. Andarayam henyase, it says. Demigods will appear and they'll invite you, take you away from your goal of going back to the spiritual to spiritual world. So they are also at that point Andarayam. Andarayam is a word used like that. That for yoga, for yogis also, that in order to achieve peace, some kind of block will happen. Yogis develop this at the Uthana stage. A kind of disturbance inside. It comes in the form of a disturbance inside, but not on a gross level, in a very, very subtle level. It creates a disturbance inside. And that will come out in the form of a siddhi externally. All the siddhis are nothing but the strength that they have created inside from their yoga system, what they are practicing. If it comes out in some form, it will be a siddhi. In a very sushmadalam. Sushmadalam means in a very subtle level, inside a person, when you practice the Ashtanga Yogam, the subtle level, the power starts building up inside. The power starts, and that power will come out in the form of siddhi. On the other hand, one who has developed purely a desire for liberation, for him, he will not get infected by this, or he will not get influenced by this, because he knows very well that he wants shandi or peace inside. So in other words, shandi is actually God. Shandi itself is the God, Atma. And people may not understand this when you say these things, because for them, going back to Vaikuntham, going back to Kailasam, all these things, they can easily accept that, isn't it? They'll easily accept that concept because they feel comfortable with that. After leaving this body, I'm going back to Vaikuntham. Somebody tells you that, they find it easier. Though this life will be like this, and after the death, I'll go back to Vaikuntham or spiritual world, whatever. It's easier for them to adapt to that because it's nothing to do with this life in this world. So, if you tell them about self-realization, they'll make some imagination within their own mind, what this some kind of imagination they'll develop in that way. So people will think that, oh, we have to sit like Lord Buddha, who sit underneath the tree, and suddenly a light came out, and all kinds of funny ideas we will develop within ourselves, and some light will emanate at that time, and that is self-realization. People will think all these kind of things, isn't it? A confusion. But actually, Krishna is saying here that tadaparam shantim upayati sakshal. In the Bhagavadam, if you look, in the 11th canto, there is a statement about this, self-realization. Who is saying this? It's saying by the Kavi Maharshi, while talking to the Navayogis. Nami Navayogi Samvadam, where Krishna, if you look there, you'll see that Navayogis are asking to Kavi Maharshi, and Kavi Maharshi answers that. He says there that the Kavi's answer, there's 12 verses there, Manyikudas Chilvaya Machudasya, beginning with that. The last verse he says here, the Bhagavata Dharmam they are discussing there, isn't it? Bhagavata Dharmam. What is Bhagavata Dharmam? Question was asked by King Nimi, isn't it? So Nimi asked this question. You know who King Nimi is, don't you? He comes in the Solar Dynasty. Solar Dynasty, he is the personality who fought with Vasishtha. Vasishtha and him had a fight. Vasishtha was their Kulaguru. That means Solar Dynasty's Kulaguru was Vasishtha. Vasishtha was asked by Nimi to stay and perform a sacrifice. Vasishtha didn't agree. He thought he went to heavenly planets to help perform a sacrifice there. So when he went there, Nimi got upset, and Nimi continued the sacrifice on his own, doing that. And when Vasishtha came back, he saw Nimi has started the sacrifice. Vasishtha got upset with Nimi and cursed him. Nimi also cursed Vasishtha in return. So at that, because of Nimi's curse, Vasishtha had to give up his body and take birth again from Urvashi. Vasishtha got the second birth from that. As the son of Mitravarna in Urvashi's body, Vasishtha got another birth. And our King Nimi did not want to accept another body. So King Nimi was asked by the demigods to accept a body, but instead he said, I don't want a material body again. And the body what he gave up previously, it was left behind. But he agreed to stay in everyone's eye in the form of Nimesha Unmesha. That means this twitching in the eye is due to presence of Nimi within our body. And why do we twitch the eye like this? There's no answer to that yet from the science, as well as I understand. That this is Nimi's presence in the eye. So that King Nimi who left his body, that body was churned. And from that body was born Janaka, King Janaka. So King Janaka appeared from Nimi's body. And it is that dynasty, solar dynasty, famous Janaka family. And for Janaka, and who became that in the Bhagavatam, if you look, you will see there, King Janaka was given this special, that all the members who appear in that family will be self-realized, and Sita Devi also was married to that family, isn't it? So from that point of view, that it is that King Nimi's discussion prior to this incident happened, is with the Navayogis. Navayogis discussing with King Nimi. So the nine sages, Kavihari, Andaresha, Prabuddha, Pipalayanan, Avihotra, Drumala, Chamasa, Karabhajana, the nine sages who came, and the first person was Kavi, among them, the first one. So King Nimi had a discussion, first question was to them, nine questions he answered also. First question was, what is Bhagavata Dharma? So when question was asked about Bhagavata Dharma, Kavi Maharshi replied in 12 verses. Maniya Kurashchil Bhai Machyadasya. We have discussed all this in the Bhagavata Dharma class. So in the last verse in that, Kavi Maharshi said, It achudangrim bhajadonu vrityam bhaktir viraktir bhagavat prabhodaha bhavandivai bhagavadasya rajam tadaparam shanti upaydi sakshat. So in other words, he says that one who has taken to Krishna consciousness process, in other words, studying Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and following that through in life, that one who has developed that pure devotion to Krishna, Vajado Anuvrtya Bhaktir Viraktir Bhagavad Prabodha. Bhagavad Prabodha means Krishna consciousness. In other words, he'll completely become Krishna conscious and you have that devotion, bhakti and virakti, renunciation. Then what else will happen to him? Bhavandivai Bhagavadasya Rajan. To that pure devotee, what will happen to him is that not only he will experience Krishna within, Tadaparam Shanti Mubayati Sakshal. He will also attain that peace within. So you can see Shanti is mentioned in the Upanishads. Shanti is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita as the goal. The goal is to attain that peace first. Peace within sign. Shanti. So Tadaparam Shanti Upayati Sakshal. So even if we move away from all kinds of realizations in the bhakti, eventually it has to come to the state of Shanti inside, to the rate of Shanti inside. Then, what happens is, when does the Shanti come? Shanti is the goal that we have to recognize. The Shanti is the goal. So, in the Bhagavad Gita also, that once you surrender to Krishna, proper surrender happens, what happens? Shanti comes first. First thing comes is Shanti, Sharanagati if you like. If you look into Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says this is at the very end. In the chapter 18, verse 62. Chapter 18, verse 62. Let's look at that verse. It says here, Tam eva sharanam gacha sarva bhavena bharata തൽപ്രസാദാൽ പരം ശാന്തിം സ്ഥാനം പ്രാപ്സ്യസി ശാശ്വതം. തം ഏവ ശരണം ഗച്ഛ സർവഭാവേന ഭാരത തൽപ്രസാദാൽ പരം ശാന്തിം സ്ഥാനം പ്രാപ്സ്യസി ശാശ്വതം. There also you can see mentioning about Shanti there, isn't it? Shanti is an important thing. We think we are in Shanti sometimes, isn't it? When we feel a little happy in life, say something, you won a lottery or you got something, sometimes you feel some Shanti inside. But that's not the Shanti we are talking about. This Shanti is coming from after surrendering to Krishna. Tameva sharanam gacha. He says when complete surrender has happened inside, in other words, false ego has gone totally away. Tameva sharanam gacha means false ego has completely left you. You are fully in conscience of the presence of Krishna inside. Tameva sharanam gacha. Krishna is present inside that realization. Sarvabhavena bharada. In all levels, sarvabhavam, completely. Then talprasadal param shandim. By who is present inside, by his prasadam, by his mercy, you will get that shanti. Tal prasadal param shantim sthanam prapsisi shashwadam. And if you have reached that stage, you stay in the level of shanti. Sthanam prapsisi shashwadam, eternally. You will remain in shanti. If you read the translation, it's very clear. O son of Bharata, surrender unto him utterly. By his grace, you will attain transcendental peace and the supreme and eternal abode. Now, you can take it in different ways. That the Acharya's point commentaries on this is that peace, what you achieve, that is an abode, what you attain at the end. Not spoken in another way, but if you look into Prabhupada's commentary also, you'll see, a living entity should therefore surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is situated in everyone's heart. Importance is that. Yeah? Not to somewhere else you go and to situate it into that person who is inside heart. And that will relieve him from all kinds of miseries of material existence. You can see the importance given to the Krishna's presence inside there. Tameva sharanam gacha sarvabhavena bharata. Tal prasadal, by recognizing, so normally when we have difficulty in spiritual life, whom should we pray to? We should pray to the super soul inside. That I am trying to, we are inside, he is the closest one to us, nobody else. Not the deities or not somewhere else we have not realized that. But this is the best proof where to pray to. This is the closest and the real Krishna there, present inside. Pray to him. That is the message. That if you pray to him, sometimes we get into certain difficulties in life. Difficulties in the sense that in spiritual life, various kinds of difficulties can come. Sometimes due to excessive attachment to something. Excessive attachment. Or misunderstanding about certain things, isn't it? So many things can happen. It keeps on disturbing your mind. And it comes to a point that you can't do anything about it. You can't do anything about it. Sometimes people tell you these problems, what they go through in life. And when a stage comes like that, when you have no choice, nothing you can do about it, the only thing to come out of that is to pray to Krishna inside. That he knows that what you are suffering from, that you are going through that difficult stage in life. Sometimes some attachment somewhere, and you are finding it very difficult to, and you know that attachment is not a good thing. It is causing all the time problems in life. That in some form or the other, in that situation, the only thing you can do is to pray to Super Soul. Krishna is present inside, and to pray to him. That's what that verse is talking about. Tameva sharanam gacha. That sarvabhavena bharata. Take complete shelter of the Super Soul at that point. When that happens, complete take shelter of the Super Soul and says to him, Tal prasadal param sharim. And you will notice that something will happen. Something will happen at that time. Provided it's not coming from false ego. If the surrender is proper at that point, Krishna's, that is why Krishna has come and stood, sat inside us. For this reason only, that an emergency number to call. 999 is there, not outside. When that happens, call there. That's what Krishna is saying there. That, so, that, if you think that He is the witness of everything, what we are doing, in our false ego platform, whatever we are doing, He is the witness for that, present inside, isn't it? So, if you surrender unto Him, then our false ego will go, immediately it will disappear, and that shanti will walk inside, it will come inside. Though none of the emotions what we experience is permanent, you cannot keep them permanent. For example, when you experience something, happiness in this world in some form, that you should not take it as permanent. Some experience you have, you shouldn't take it as permanent. Because if that happens, they are also not permanent, isn't it? They are also not permanent. Thanks. They are also not permanent. That will also go. Any emotions you feel in any situation is not permanent. It will go after a while. That is the very nature of all the emotions. That's the very nature of the emotions. You cannot keep it all the time. You cannot hold it back. So, the bad thoughts also, they come and they go. Isn't it? They also don't stay permanent. They also will come and go. Similarly, good thoughts also. Good experience or good feelings of some, feeling something great in this world. Isn't it? So that also don't stay very long. It stays for some time and then it goes away. So, because if you keep that particular emotion for a long period of time, if you try to hold on to that, you will get a nervous breakdown. Nervous breakdown will happen. Because that is not our normal state. What refers to our existence. Normal state is without any of these excitations inside, either in the form of happiness or distress. So, all emotions are tension. You see? Tension. Whether it is good or bad, they all create tension. When you have a lot of good excitement inside, that also creates tension inside. Or ecstasy, you can call it. And all these states, it will weaken you at the end. It will weaken us. That's the way it is. We will not notice it unless you practice it and experience it for some time. You won't know whether it's the happy state or the distress state. Either of them can make you weak for a long period of time if it happens. If it comes and goes, that's why they don't stay. They come and they go. If it experience too much, then it will weaken your state of peace. It will disturb your mind. It's okay. So, and it will not only affect your mind, it will affect your body as well. Once it, first it affects the mind, and then it affects the body. So, okay. But the difference is that Shanti doesn't do that. Shanti means that peaceful existence inside, all the time. Shanti, you can stay in that position forever. It would not happen. That is why, by very nature of the soul in the material body, is to become shanti, peaceful within oneself. What's the reason between shanti and the emotions? There's a difference there. In emotions, when you are experiencing happiness or distress in any way, any kind of emotions what you are experiencing, the false ego is there. I am experiencing that. Yeah? In shanti, I am doesn't exist. I don't exist there. The false ego doesn't exist. There is a difference like that. That shanti, when you are experiencing shanti, false ego won't be there. It's a very, very subtle thing to accept. If you can think about it, if you catch it, you get it. That when you experience shanti, peace inside, false ego won't be there. If you know, carefully observe this, false ego won't be present there. But when you experience any happiness from external things or from or from any emotions, for example, if you are feeling happiness, say in the case of love for friendship or mercy or any such things brings you some happiness in this world, it develops in the form of an emotion inside, that will not, that there always that I am experiencing, I will be there in that. Whereas in Shanti, I won't be there. Shanti is a state like that. A state of existence where I is not present. I is not. That's why in the when you study Bhagavadam, when you read these verses and these words, these subtle differences you have to notice and take care. Otherwise, you will just think Shanti is also another emotion like other things. Shanti is not like other emotions. The other things, ecstasy, for example, devotees, they'll say dance and chant and dance and all kind of things you have done. And then you feel, oh, it is ecstatic, we say. Or we had ecstatic, they say. That ecstasy, after 15 minutes, it's gone. And then some misery comes later. Why? When you feel that ecstasy, you're always also thinking that I am feeling that ecstasy. I am is there. It's not only ecstasy that is there. I am experiencing. But Shanti is not like that. Shanti is the state of existence where complete peace, false ego's absence, is Shanti there. In Shanti, there is no presence of the person there. The one who is experiencing it is not there. The person who is experiencing doesn't exist. And the moment it becomes a person who is experiencing it, it becomes a vigaram. It's called vigaram. Vigaram means all these emotions. What we are talking about. This is the difference between Shanti and Vigaram. Vigaram means emotions. Huh? If you add Shanti to a person who is experiencing it, it has become Vigaram. It has become Vigaram. So, so once it becomes Vigaram, it comes and grows. It comes and grows. Only when you have Vigaram, you exclaim. The moment you exclaim that, when it is a vigaram, I'm experiencing happiness, I'm experiencing distress. At that time, I am is there, in that involved. So even while if you engage in meditation, for example, a lot of people do meditation, isn't it? So those who are even doing meditation also, that you will get some happiness from that due to meditation. So even that happiness when it comes, one should not take that seriously when that happens, thinking that, oh, I'm enjoying that happiness from meditation. People will make that statement like that. I meditated, therefore I'm experiencing happiness from that. So as soon as the person is present there who is experiencing it or enjoying it, then immediately that will leave also. After a while, that will leave you also. Na aswadayet, Upanishad says, Na aswadayet rasam tatra nisangam prajnayal bhaved. Prajnayal bhaved. Na aswadayet rasam tatra nisangam prajnayal bhaved. What it means is, Na aswadayet. When you get some experience like that in life, anything, one should not try to aswadanam. Aswadanam means trying to enjoy it, to relish it. Not try to relish it. If you do that, rasam tatra nisanga prajnaya bhaved. Prajnaya, our consciousness will remain nisangatvam. Nisangatvam means it will not feel any attachment anywhere. It will not feel any attachment anywhere. So whenever any excitement happens or emotions comes in life which brings happiness or distress, doesn't matter what it is, one should develop nisangatvam by not trying to enjoy that. No, it is a difficult to explain more than this. That this is the process of the way to stay in that Krishna conscious stage. That even in satsangam, sometimes if you feel some happiness from satsangam, what Shastram is saying to us that na aswadayet, don't try to enjoy that happiness that's coming from that. Because develop nisangatvam prajnaya bhaved. If you develop nisangatvam at that point, not getting attached to anything, then prajna will remain very clear. Prajna will be very clear to accept something. You can notice this. As soon as you get some happiness from, say, from kirtanam or satsangam or anything, And aswadanam, or if you are not relishing it, then you are peaceful to hear the next thing if somebody talks to you. Whereas if you are constantly relishing that happiness from what you have got from this, if somebody comes and tells you, you won't be able to take it on board, because at that time you are fallen into that aswadanam, into that experience of that. So that's why Upanishad says there, na aswadayet rasam tatra nisanga prajnaya bhavet. So even while in satsangam, if we want to experience the benefit of that, we have to keep ourselves very much in control. Very much in control. It is important to keep in control. In other sense, in other, what Krishna is, what is saying here is that to get the benefit of that knowledge, spiritual understanding or realization, we should not get distracted from that by any emotions that's coming in between. That also can become a kind of distraction for us. To keep that peace within sight, it is important. So you will notice very thoughtful people, they are very peaceful. Thoughtful people means thoughtful in the sense in the spiritual path. Even when so many things happens, they became very stable in their mind. They don't get distracted by those things. So sometimes we say little happiness in life, we'll say, oh, I've never experienced like this before. We'll say like that, isn't it? So we can take it like that if any statement is coming in that way from a person, that it will leave him very quickly. It won't stay very long there, because there is very powerful false ego inside there, in that person. This false ego is a very difficult thing to understand. We think that false ego is only because the way false ego operates within us is in a very subtle level. And when false ego operates, many times we are not even conscious of that, because we don't think that there's a thing called false ego inside. That's how subtle it is. I have got it. I'm experiencing that. And I'm feeling happy. All this is the effect of false ego. If you try to get your grip on it, then it will escape. That the person who is trying to get a grip on it, that itself is the danger. So, if you want to experience Shanti, the point is that there should not be a person who is experiencing Shanti. Shanti is that state when there is no person available. Only Shanti exists. That Shanti is, Krishna calls in this chapter at the very end, as Brahmi Sthiti. The last verse in this second chapter finishes with that word, Brahmi Sthiti. In the Yogava system, if you look, there is a verse there of a person who has reached that state of Shanti. Verse is very good. Samudra seva gambhiryam, sairyam mero rivasthiti, anda shitalayas indo, idedi vijarinaha. This is Vasishtha Maharshi saying this to Ramachandra. He says there, Samudra seva gambhiryam. After one who has heard this state of realization has happened to him, what will be his position? He says that after hearing about this Atmatattvam, Atmatattvam means the knowledge of the soul from Bhagavad Gita or from Srimad Bhagavatam, wherever the Tattvam you have understood, what it is. What is the Tattvam? Tattvam is that the soul, isn't it? The soul is the Tattvam. So after we have understood about that, little by little we have analyzed this within ourselves. That's only possible when we have a reflective nature within ourselves. Withdrawing the mind from external world and thinking about this and reflecting, mananam process. After doing that over a long period of time, step by step, these thoughts will come and go very often. And ultimately he comes to the understanding, I am existing in this spiritual platform. He comes to the realization state. And then he also sees that this awakening of the soul inside is in the form of consciousness. That's pure form of consciousness. And that expands inside and it becomes a permanently established state within him, and that is the state of Shanti comes to him. Vasishtha Maharshi, Vasishtha says like this, Samudra Seva Gambhiryam, that at that point in time, this is a very subtle level Vasishtha Maharshi is speaking to Ramachandra. If you understand this, what I am saying, or if you have got it, it's fine. But if you don't get it, it's very difficult till we experience that, because that's the way the verse is structured. He says there, Samudra Seva Gambhiryam, just like an ocean, ocean is considered to be Gambhiryam, isn't it? Gambhiryam, what is the Gambhiryam of ocean? That so many rivers are coming and joining the river in the ocean, isn't it? Ganga, Yamuna, Kaveri, like that. So many hundreds of rivers are going join the ocean. But you don't see any waves in the ocean because of the rivers joining them. The ocean remains very steady, isn't it? By that gravity inside, that what happens doesn't matter. I'm always very stable, peace within oneself. That peace within the ocean is that Gambhiryam. Samudra Seva Gambhiryam. Gambhirada, it's called. Gambhiryam. Gambhiryam means that. Samudra Seva Gambhiryam. Just like a self-realized soul, according to Vasishtha Maharshi, will be like that. That he will be always in Gambhiryam. Gambhiryam means no matter what happens in this world, it will not shake him. He will be able to take it. Stairyam Merorivasthiti. That his experience will be like this. His situation, his state of mind will be like a Meru mountains. Meru mountain is considered the biggest mountain. So like a Meru mountain, he will be like a solid rock under all circumstances. No disturbances will get inside. It won't allow that to go in. Meru Rivasthiti. On the other hand, Andha Sheetala Cha Indoho. Like a moon, it will be so cool inside when all these things are happening. When many things happen in life, Andha Sheetala Cha Indoho. Like a moon, there is peace inside, so cool inside. In the Udedi Vicharinaha. And he, at that point, all the vijayams also is not influencing him in any way. In other words, Krishna is saying here that the little by little, by Alma Vijayam, thinking about the soul, and it will start affecting him in such a way that these qualities will come to him and he will pass through different stages in his Anubhuti Mandalam. Anubhuti Mandalam means the sphere of experience. And he will come to the state at the end that he will experience this samadhi state. So, yogis call them as samadhi. And that is, yogis call that state as samadhi, and that is our experience of the soul. That's what it is. In other words, we will know at that point what we are. Swarupanubhava means that. Swarupanubhava means we know what we are. When that happens, this is what will be the result. And eventually coming to that state and experiencing that soul, what we are on spiritual platform when we are in, that is called Shanti. That is called Shanti. You can call all names, Samadhi they call it, Ishwara Anubhuti they call it, Atma Anubhavam they call it, in whichever way one like it, but ultimately it's one and the same. Name of that is Shanti. And this Shanti, the important thing is to, we are discussing this, why? Because if the Shanti, if it is not there, as a first step, Krishna says that imagine that Shanti state, even if you are not experiencing that. At least try to imagine that, Sangalpam. We make a Sangalpam of that, about the Shanti. Even if profit and loss happens in life, there will be a lot of profits and loss will happen throughout life, isn't it? And similarly, one's own job, family life, position in the society, none of them are actually real things, isn't it? Temporarily they are there, and we give importance to that. So, it is not a kind of a romantic explanation to all these things, but it is a factual thing, that these things don't stay. None of them will stay. So it's not been spoken just to create vairagyam inside, that they are not permanent, they are not permanent. We don't keep repeating that in order to create vairagyam inside. But the purpose is that if you keep on saying this to yourself, the transitory nature of this world, if one keeps talking about this to oneself, that it will have its impact on oneself. It will have its own impact on us, provided we keep on talking about this. We are not saying that you have to give up everything. Not that we have to give up everything. We are also not saying that you don't have to accept anything new. But we should understand the reality. The reality is this, that everything will leave us one day. That it is not for creating vairagyam that we are doing this. That to understand that this is recognition of our situation in this world, that everything will leave us one day, the so-called relatives, friends, job, money, wealth, everything, they will all cheat us. When they will cheat us, that you can't say, but they will cheat us one day. So the money what we are accumulating in this world, people and the society is completely driven by that. The what happens is that everyone gets affected by that, isn't it? Just like an illusion is created by the society. Property prices are going up. And this craziness goes so strongly in people's mind, that's the only thing in their head all the time. These property prices have gone up. And then sometimes it comes out from them, saying that the property is worth so much. And this illusion the government creates also in this way, saying to people that the price has gone up. And day after day, if this is pumped into our head, what will happen? We also think, yes, we are rich, aren't we? This illusion they create within us, isn't it? It's a kind of illusion that's created, very much so. We are still living in the same house, same brick and mortar is still there. So nothing has changed. But an illusion has been created within our own mind that something has happened, you have become rich. So that's how this powerful this illusion is. So same thing with the health also. If you look in your own body, sometimes you feel healthy, isn't it? When nothing serious is happening, without any paracetamol or anything like that, you feel a sort of happiness. You're able to walk well, do things what you want and all that. But it only lasts for some time. Then suddenly something comes and pulls you down straight away. And immediately you can see the vulnerability of that thing, the fallible nature of the body. Straight away you can experience that with the body. As much as it is truth with the body, it is truth with the wealth also. Isn't it? Wealth also is the same thing. Today they'll say you are rich and tomorrow they'll say you are very poor. And recession has started. For 18 months or so, they kept on telling us we are in deep recession. Suddenly one morning they come and say, it's finished now. It's all now over. You can start your life back again. You can start your old way of life, consumerism. You can start again. So this way, this is how this whole society is running. And it's not only happening here, it's happening in India also now. It wasn't there before, but it's there now. They started the same business of making people feel that they have been in serious trouble, deep recession and all that they said. And suddenly now they're saying that we have come out of it now. Isn't it? As they are there concerned, they're saying we are out of it now. So anyway, so if you take all these things very seriously, then you won't get to know the truth, because our mind will be absorbed in these things. What point is making here is that while living within this society or within this environment, we have to get to know the truth. Truth is more important. This is not the truth, definitely not. But to know the truth, we have to know the importance of these things, and we have to keep it where it is, where it belongs to. So we know in a society like this, any amount of wealth you acquire also has no meaning at the end. Wealth may temporarily give you some protection and shelter, but the wealth also is also very much cannot be taken that serious in relationship with self-realization, all these things. So that's all happening less like a drama. It's going on outside. But all while this is happening, drama is happening, inside that Shanti should come. Inside that Shanti should come. That is the goal of life. That's the goal of life. While being tormented by all these waves of material life, in middle of that, how to reach that state of Shanti inside. So, we have to, like a tablet, we have to keep it swallowing it all the time. Saying that the goal is not all these things. The goal is something different than this. To reach that state of peace inside. Otherwise, you will get caught up in that. So, if you give up the shanti and take to bhogam or sense enjoyment and to develop aishwaryam or material wealth, then we will run after power. We'll run after power. In Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a statement in the Mahatmyam of the glories of Mahatmyam in Padmapuranam. Padmapuranam glorifies Srimad Bhagavatam. There are 6 chapters in the Padmapuranam. There is a statement, Kukaja Komaniya. He said, then when the demigods came to Sudev Goswami with a pot of nectar, when he started to speak Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit, and said to Sudev Goswami, we will hand over this nectar to you. You can give that to Parikshit and make him live. Give Srimad Bhagavatam to us. Sudev Goswami didn't agree for that. Why? Seeing this business mentality of the demigods, Sudev Goswami didn't like it and he refused to give the Bhagavatam to them. So he said, because as far as Sudev Goswami is concerned, the demigods are not qualified to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. They are busy with sense enjoyment there. Vairagyam is not there. He says, you don't have the Vairagyam to hear Bhagavatam. So Sudev Goswami didn't want to hear them, give them Bhagavatam. And there is this statement, Ko Kaja Ko Maniyo, that they said it is just like you want to give this broken glass pieces and want to get the money, the jewel, Parijada jewel from there. So that is not a proper exchange. Srimad Bhagavatam is like that Parijada jewel. You want to give us this broken glass pieces and that is not acceptable. So Chintamani, the Chintamani is the jewel, isn't it? So if you give Chintamani and take the pieces of glass, that is not proper. Chintamani is the shanti here. Chintamani is the shanti. And this broken glass pieces is our experiences in this world. Loga Anubhava. Anubhava means all the, what we are gaining in this world is just like broken glass pieces. What we procure in this world is all compared to these broken glass pieces. It may appearance some, it may look like a jewel, but it is never Chintamani. Chintamani is the real jewel, shanti inside. So everything in this world, all the material opulences, we have to balance them where it belongs to. Sometimes we can see some people have a lot of wealth and a lot of passionate activities they are doing. And you can see from them that the peace inside is all burning. Inside is all burning because of their dealing with this in this world. Too much stress they create for themselves due to their relation dealings with this world. That situation is not favorable. So you can see that the heat that is generated inside due to association with the material nature. So, important thing is achieving this state of shanti inside. That's more important than anything else. Krishna's message is like that. Krishna is saying that if that cannot be achieved even now, at least you should develop that concept inside very strongly that this shanti is more important. Tataparam shanti mupaiti sakshat. From Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, this is the message to us. That once we started looking inwards and our mind is withdrawn from the world, although you may lose out in your efforts in this world, you have something much more valuable to gain from that, and that is the shanti. The spiritually progressive person or one who is making spiritual progress on the spiritual path, on a material side, you may find that he may not be making much progress in the material life. Krishna is saying it is worthwhile trying to get to the stage of shanti rather than simply running after the... You can't keep both the things going. That's not possible. It's not possible because that is not what spiritual life is all about. That becomes religion then. That becomes religion. Whereas once we come to spiritual life, the goal has to be centered around only about self-realization. And topics related to self-realization should take the priority over anything else. If anything else is disturbing us, the correction has to be made onto that thing, what is causing the disturbance, rather than correcting the spiritual life. Spiritual life has to go on. That is importance. Krishna is talking about that. Vyasayatmiya buddhi is that thing. What he is saying here. Another thing is, Krishna is saying here that even if you can't do anything, even if you can't do anything in spiritual life, even if you can't do any sadhana, actually sadhana is not what brings this peace to us. That's most important thing to recognize. It is not sadhana that brings that. Because it is this sankalpam, this decision what you make, that is what will give you that peace. Do you know what I'm saying? That people think that they don't make any decision. Some people, you can see, they have no decision. They have taken spiritual life and then they do a lot of sadhana and sometimes they feel some peace and that peace goes away. Krishna says, if your peace is based on your sadhana, it won't last. If the peace is based on your decision, on this sankalpam, it will last. That's the point Krishna is making. Why it is like that? sadhana is a secondary thing. It's not the primary thing. We misunderstand sometimes that before we enter into sadhana, if the decision is not there inside, if you do the sadhana, it will not have its desired result. That's why so many people did so much sadhana for so many years and they fell. Why did they fall? Because all the while doing through sadhana, they were not sure what they wanted at the end. The concept was, they were trying it out like a experiment. I'll chant and see what happens for some years. But Krishna is saying, prior to getting into all these things, make this decision within yourself, what you want in life. If you want a life where you want eventually become peaceful within, shanti inside, then let that decision take priority over everything else. Keeping that decision in the forefront, then you execute sadhana, it will have its benefit. Otherwise, sadhana may not protect you. Many big men, some of them were chanting 64 rounds for 2 years, 3 years and all that. They were trying it out, seeing what happens. Why? The decision was in their inside that this was what they wanted in life at the end. The goal was not very clear. So, otherwise, whereas one person who has that decision inside, even if sometimes he may lose it, eventually he will come back to that again. Because that decision is very strong inside. And that you have reached that state decision only after properly evaluating the life in this world. You have come to that conclusion. This is what I want from this life. I'm not going after prayas. I'm after shreyas. I'm not going after power. I want shanti. So these decisions are important. When that decision is made properly, Krishna is saying that even if your sadhana did not happen very well, that peace inside will stay. The peace inside will stay. And even if sometimes some distraction happens, you will come back to that state. So, decision is very, very important. I'll give you an example. Suppose you are a pujari in the temple. Pujari in the temple. Suppose who is doing that puja every day. But if he doesn't have this goal, that puja is waste. Puja is a waste of time. Pujari, becoming a pujari is good. If you are doing deity worship, is good. It is a helpful thing. But if he has no clear concept in his head, why I am doing this puja for? He is simply doing it all the time without any goal inside. That puja becomes a job then. It simply becomes a job, isn't it? Why do we do puja? Why do we do deity worship? Only for this sake, that the goal is clear, that we want to reach that state of shanti inside. With that goal inside, if it is executed properly over a long period of time, that puja will bring benefit. But if the puja is done simply without any concept, I'm doing it because that's my job, I have to do it. or if I'm doing it because this is what I like to do, or some concept like that. Like to do doesn't mean anything in that. Important thing is, the goal is to be very, very clear. I'm doing this, by doing that, I have to reach my goal of self-realization. With that understanding and that peacefulness inside, if puja is executed in that way, it will have its result at the end. So, even if it's a pujari, if the goal is not clear, that is complete shanti inside, it will not have any result. So, one who has got this definite decision inside, for him, Mahabharatam, there is a famous example of Dharmavyada. Remember the Dharmavyada story we spoke about? He was a person who was engaged in selling meat. He was a butcher. He was selling meat. Even then, he acquired shanti inside. Why? Because inside was very clear. Inside was very clear. Clear, definite decision. Because his goal of life was very clear, and therefore he had no difficulty in reaching that stage. So, and the Brahmana who came to see him, remember I mentioned this story? Kaushika Brahmana who came to see him. For him, the goal was Siddhi. When he got that Siddhi, immediately he got carried away by that. The Brahmana was executing penances, sitting underneath the tree, chanting Gayatri. And suddenly the crow flew over and passed tool and fell on his head. And the Brahmana looked up, is from the Kaushika Gotram, Kaushika Brahmana he was. He looked up, and when he looked, the crow fell into ashes and fell in front of him. So the Brahmana thought, I've got that strength now, that Siddhi has come to me. So he was affected by the Siddhi. Dharmavyadha was not affected by any Siddhi. He was very much fixed in the principle of that self-realized state, consciousness. So that's why when the Brahmana came to see him, if you remember that Brahmana came to see him, that immediately he realized it, that the difference between his realization of Siddhi and the Dharmavyada's realization of the self. He noticed that. Dharmavyada was properly situated, completely unaffected by everything what was going on in this world. That was shanti inside. So, another example in the Upanishads mentions like this. Actually, it's mentioned in the Yoga system. One executed penances to get Chindamani. So, Chindamani, one day Chindamani came and fell in his hand. And he thought, how can you get Chindamani so easily? So, he threw it away. And then for 10-15 years he performed penances, and somebody gave him some imitation gold. He accepted that, thinking that as Chintamani. So, if we give all our faith to our effort and to our false ego, eventually it will all get lost. In other words, false ego and our effort in this world, we cannot put a lot of faith in that. So, because the truth is available to us. It's not something which has to come from outside. Why Krishna is repeating this thing is that we all have this tendency not to take seriously of Krishna's presence inside. We have that in us. No matter how many times we hear this, that Krishna is present inside. We think, is he there really? We think like that, isn't it? We will still run to the temple. Oh, I have to go and see Krishna in the temple. It's not that to bring that down. That is only a thing to help us. But if we forget this of Krishna's presence inside, then whatever we do will not have any benefit. That's the point Krishna is stressing. You see, spiritual life has to be centered around the soul inside. It cannot be centered around anything else in the world outside. It has to be centered around the soul inside. That's where spiritual life begins from. So, what Krishna was saying here was that the truth is freely available right inside our heart. It's already available with us. And that is Vyavsaya Atmiya Buddhi. To think like that is Vyavsaya Atmiya Buddhi. Normally, this point is not stressed very much. You can hear this. Every time you talk to people, they will talk about everything developing externally. But as far as internal, this recognition of the soul's inside is only spoken that we will say there is Krishna's one aspect, a super soul sitting inside. That's it, finished. Nothing more than that. Super soul, Krishna has got three forms. Brahmedi, Paramatmedi, Bhagavan. Super soul is inside. Brahma means we don't know what that is. Bhagavan is in the temple. Finished. Our realization is over. This is where we are today, isn't it? So, Bhagavan is in the temple. Super soul, I am told, it's inside. And Brahma, we have no clue what it looks like. Finished. The three stages, we say. And out of that, the topmost one is in the temple, Bhagavan. This is where we understand Krishna consciousness now. So, the buddhi that gives importance to this is, Krishna says that bhogam aishwaryam bhoga aishwarya prasaktanam taya apakrita chetasam, that he has lost it, in other words, apakrita chetasam, that means he has lost it, that for him vyavasaya almiya buddhi samadhauna vidhiyade, his mind in buddhi will not be vyavasaya almiya. That's the point he's saying here. Krishna is saying bhogam aishwaryam. Krishna is not saying you don't have bhogam, don't have aishwaryam, but not prasaktam. You have to take each word separately and look at it. Krishna has used the words very carefully. Bhogam, aishwaryam, prasaktam. Three words here. Bhoga, aishwarya, prasaktanam. Three words. Out of that, bhogam and aishwaryam, Krishna is saying, is not a wrong thing, but no prasaktam. No attachment to the bhogam. That you cannot give up anything in this world. It is not possible. Or you cannot say accept anything. Because our situation is like that in this world when we live. And because according to prarabdham, things will come. What you have to remember is this. Prarabdham was created before you were given the body. Prarabdham existed before the body. Body has come after the prarabdham. Isn't it? So prarabdham controls the body. So according to prarabdham, you will get things in this world. You won't be able to reject it. It will come. Unexpected quarters, things will come. And from unexpected sources, distress also will come. So from that, you have to understand that material body is controlled. All our activities are controlled by prarabdham. Prarabdham is before the body. Before the body, prarabdham existed. Only because of prarabdham that this body has come into existence. So because of that, Krishna says here, prarabdham was created first and shariram, body, was created afterwards. Therefore, to worry about shariram or the material body to a large degree is not very proper. It's not proper. So whatever that has to come for the body, it will come. And it will leave us also one day. And whatever happiness that you have to experience in this body, also you will have to experience that. But prasaktam should not be there. Yogeshwarya prasaktanam, Krishna says. Prasakti should not be there. That's already been decided. When happiness comes in life through various sources, if any happiness comes, that you have to take it that this is mercy from Krishna, but you should never take it that only if I have all these things I can enjoy in life. That should not, attitude should not develop within. That will not bring shanti. Unconditional acceptance. That is what it means. That when something happens in life, you have to accept it in an unconditional way. That happiness has come, fine, it has come. But only if I have this happiness, I would like to continue in this life, then that is conditional. It has come due to prarabdham, and we should be able to leave it in the same way in it has come. And when it leaves or goes away also, without affecting, disturbing our mind, it should be able to execute the life in this world. Unconditional acceptance. That's why required. So, that has to happen within a person. And making that as the goal, vyavasaya almiya buddhi, is Krishna calls. Otherwise, Krishna says, bhagushara hyanandascha buddhayo avyavasayinam. Otherwise, their mind will go in different directions. In other words, A person who has not made these decisions very clear inside, what will happen to him? Say, for example, a man who has not, who when happiness comes in life, if he starts thinking that if I don't have it in the future, I cannot enjoy life, and he start going after that particular happiness, then Krishna says that is prasakti. So when bhogam, aishwaryam comes in life, if we are able to deal with it in this consciousness, thinking that it has come due to prarabdham, it will play its role and it will leave me one day. And when it leaves, if we don't lament about this, that it has left me, and due to that I am now suffering, if you don't develop that mood, then Krishna says there is no prasakti. And that bhogam aishwaryam won't harm us. Krishna talked about this before also, if you remember, that if you don't want to experience distress in this world, Krishna says, the technique for that, when happiness comes, you don't accept that inside. If you don't accept that inside, when distress comes also, it won't cause any problems inside. Happiness and distress are nothing but a product of the mind. It has nothing to do with the soul. So saying that, Krishna says that, after saying all this, Vyavasayatmika Buddhi, Krishna came to what is known as Sthita Prajnatvam, isn't it? First he spoke about Vyavasayatmika Buddhi, and then he spoke about Sthita Prajnatvam. And whatever sadhana we have to do in this world, keeping this as the goal inside, and whatever we have to do in this world according to Prarabdham, we should do that. We should do that. The mind will still be centered around the goal, what we have set. And in that mode, if you conduct our vyavaharam in this world, eventually what will happen is that we will start thinking about the goal very seriously. So this is how the spiritual growth happens in a person. That, and that will be, the goal will be that shanti inside. And what is happening is different kinds of desires inside and different disturbances in the sense enjoyment. These things will, one after the other, will leave us. These things one has to do oneself. All these things what Krishna is talking about, one has to do oneself. Just like if you want to learn swimming, if you keep a person on the shore and keep talking to him about swimming, how to swim, he's not going to learn swimming, isn't it? The only thing is you have to push him into the water and start. So same thing is like here also, that we have to practice it and make it happen. Make that happen. These decisions, Vyavasayatmika Buddhi, all this Krishna was talking about, this discrimination about what is permanent, what's temporary. These decisions we have to make ourselves within. And what is coming as a block in reaching that state is our material desires and sense gratification, things like that. And automatically, they will have to go away from us. So, similarly, shanti, how to reach that state of shanti, if somebody asks like that, when disturbances and distress comes in life, that there will be automatically, in a natural way, a kind of inner balancing. A balancing will happen inside. A balancing of the mind. That is that shanti, balancing state. So how does that balancing happens when chittavritti is reduced? You can try it out. If you keep observing your own mind, you can see a lot of things what Krishna is talking about. We are experiencing it in everyday life. Only thing is, because we don't give time to think about all these things, because we are rushing from one thing to another all the time, this realization doesn't take its root inside. Otherwise, everyone goes through these things in life, but it doesn't have the time. Normal tendency, as soon as there is a problem, we go outside looking for the solution. Isn't it? But a person who is reflective, he would not get so easily driven by that. He will give time to think about it, why this has happened, and that balancing system will start working inside. The inner balancing, what Krishna is talking about here. And when the inner balancing happens, will happen when there is not too much of chittavritti. Have you noticed sometimes we say, I can't sleep tonight, I'm not getting sleep. What is the reason behind it? Mind is very active. That's the only reason, nothing else. Too much chittavritti inside. That's the reason, nothing else. You are tired, but you can't sleep. Why? The mind is very active. So you can see, if you increase chittavritti, or too much vritti, chittavritti goes inside, then you can see it disturbs inside. But as soon as chittavritti stops, say for some reason, somehow your mind is pacified and you come to a peaceful state, immediately you'll see sleep comes as well without any difficulty. So chittavritti is causing that problem. So as much as our sangam means connection or with the attachment to the various things goes away, this shanti will keep increasing. Eventually, Krishna says, before we leave this body, before death happens, the connection with everything has to be broken. That is what's wanted. So if we don't practice it now, we think, I'll break that connection at the last minute. Do you think it will happen? It will never happen. And that is why Krishna is talking about this shanti so much. That at the time of, before the time of death, Krishna says, all connections with everything in this world must be broken before death happens. If that state of mind, if one leaves the body, he has some hope. Otherwise, Krishna says here that whatever you can give up, we should give up first. Connections. With whatever we can give up, we should give up. Everything we may not be able to give up. In that state we are in today. Listen, all of us are in that state. So many things we are unable to give up. That is not in our hands at the moment. But what is possible, that is within our power, we should give up. Because one day they will all leave us. One day they will. Every time when something is leaving us, every time, it's like a new flower blossoming inside. Why? From that, you will require a little better shanti you will get inside. So in other words, the more we leave things in this world, you will know that the more shanti is inside. So, if possible, before that happens, at least not allow any new more weaknesses to get in. These are all weaknesses. All this, what do they call the sangam or attachment to different things is a weaknesses in a person. It is nothing but weaknesses, isn't it? We won't call it as a weakness because then our false ego won't allow that to accept that. So we won't accept it as a weakness. But fact is, it is a weakness in a person that I have that attachment to anything for that matter. So, at least to give up that attachment, these weaknesses, or durbalada they call it, durbalyam. If one can give up that to some extent, that it is better. Even if you have not done anything good in this world, Krishna's point is like that. Krishna says that if you don't do anything bad, that is still better than if you are doing a lot of good things. Do you understand what I'm saying? That, for example, says here, you are doing a lot of good things. For example, a lot of sadhana you are doing, a lot of charity you are doing, so many things you are doing. Better than that is, doing good things is good, but its capacity is limited. Because no karma is unlimited. All karma has a limit to itself. Yeah? But if you don't do something, it has got a lot of power. It's got a lot of power in that. How much power you have got for not doing is that much power it hasn't got by doing something. That's the important thing. For example, in spiritual life we have come to, we have taken spiritual life seriously. And even if your sadhana is not very wonderful, if it's not 64 rounds or even sometimes even 16 rounds didn't happen, if your resolve for spiritual life is strong and you don't allow yourself to be dragged by material life, it's better. Still better. Because why? inside that vyavsayatmaya buddhi is becoming stronger. Sometimes you find people that they are always in this state. Especially this situation happens that they completely never thought about this particular point seriously in life, about vyavsayatmaya buddhi. And they have been doing so many things in spiritual life. They'll go every, every special day. And if they don't get a chance to bathe the deity on the day of appearance day, of say Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance day, Gopurnima day, or Janmashtami day, or Ramnavami day, if I didn't get the chance to bathe the deity, oh, I lost it. Everything is finished now in life. They are like that. There are people like that. If they didn't get it, they think they lost everything in life. So this is coming from that mood, that they have put all their faith in all these things. On the other hand, if as soon as they come out, they think that they've finished that, they completed, and then they'll go and do something and get into trouble somewhere else in something, some other form. And then they are thinking that, why did this happen? I've gone and done the bathing, the deity and everything at the temple. I was a part of the whole program I've attended. I heard the class, I was in the kirtan, I took the prasadam, I was a part of the whole community activities. But when I come out, I am on my own, there's nothing happening to me. What do I do now? Should I go book my ticket to Vrindavan now? That's the next thing you do. So like this, we are moving day after day in this way, in this life, isn't it? But Krishna's point is, even if you don't do all these things, at your own place where you are living, if you have developed this inward-looking nature and developed vyavsayatmaya buddhi, it's much more powerful than all the other things what you are doing simply as a karma. That's what happens to most of the people. You can look at that. That instead of vyavsayatmaya buddhi developing inside, they have given importance to all the external things. And you will notice that if they missed sometimes, they missed a Mangalarati, they will be very much disturbed about it. Or if they couldn't chant their Gayatri for any reason, they'll be very disturbed about it. They are all there, but only importance is this vyavsayatmaya buddhi is more important. Krishna's point is this, that even if you don't do anything good, if you don't do something bad, it's much more powerful than doing good. Because doing good has also got its own limitations. But not doing good, the goodness, that sattvam that creates inside, sattugunam that creates inside, it's more powerful than all that what you have done and the results that comes from that. If you keep this point in your mind, you will see when you can put it into practice and see yourself how powerful that is. That means your control on the mind is good, that you have a higher understanding inside than the others of God. So that is, this goodness is our swarupam inside, our form. So so when we engage in activities, whatever that comes on our way in creating that peace inside, we have to learn to keep that away from inside. In that case, Krishna says the yoga state will develop inside. Yoga state won't happen otherwise. Because when we're talking about reflection, vijaram, vijaram is reflection, isn't it? Atma vijaram means realization of the soul. If a person is totally busy with so many things, it's not possible to develop within. It's not possible to going to develop with inside. Inside development means we have to have that nature of pulling things from outside our mind away from so many other things and gives importance to this topic related to the soul. So that's why I say, so that is why the understanding is talked about in the Upanishads in a particular way. You heard about this thing called Dr. Frog, we talk about, isn't it? Dr. Frog. Prabhupada used to give that example also. What is that Dr. Frog philosophy, Prabhupada used to say? You all heard that, isn't it? Dr. Frog, what it means? Yeah. So there was one frog in the living in the ocean, on the banks of a ocean, in the ocean. There was another frog in the well. So this frog from the ocean came to visit the frog in the well, and they are having a conversation. During the conversation, so the frog in the well was thinking, this is the greatest pool of water, which is this well. So the frog in the well is asking the visiting frog that, where do you come from? He says, I come from the ocean. So the frog in the well is asking, how big is it? Oh, it's much bigger, he says. Very, very big. He says, frog in the well is asking, is it bigger than this well? So the frog in the ocean says, it is a lot bigger than this. It's just big like the sky, he says. So the frog in the well is saying that the sky is not that big. The sky, what the frog in the well is seeing, only the sky, what is within the well. He cannot see the sky outside. The frog in the well cannot see the sky outside. So the frog in the well is saying to the frog from the sea that the sky is not big. Sky is only as big as this well. So the water is also the same size inside. That's how the well frog talks to the sea frog. So the sea frog says, the only thing I can do with you is to take you and show it to you. There's nothing else I can do, because you won't understand. Your thinking is like that. You cannot be convinced. The only thing I can do is to take you away from here and make you understand by putting you at the sea, and then you will know what the sea means. Isn't it? So the doctor frogs, what we are talking about is this. Prabhupada used to call the scientists a doctor frog. Reason is, all the scientists are thinking, everything in the creation we will know one day. We will know. And all our knowledge and experience and results, we have complete control over everything. Prabhupada considers this as a person who is sitting like this little frog in the well. That's how his position is. His real position is like this little frog in the well. So similarly, we also, while sitting inside this body, not knowing what our real capacity is. Our real capacity is unlimited, in the sense that the soul inside this body is very, very powerful thing. It's a very powerful thing. And the soul has got very high realizations it can attain. Not only as an individual soul, because it's a part and parcel of Krishna, it has all the qualities Krishna has, isn't it? So it is unlimited potencies inside. But while it is locked up in this little body, he is thinking, I am this body, I am limited to this body, I have to suffer in this body, I have to enjoy these limited things in this body. And every time a distress or happiness comes, he is limiting himself to this body and carries on in that way. Just like the little frog in the well. So once we break up from this body and we come to our realized state, then we understand that we are not this limited state what we have experienced within this body. Our proper identity comes back to us when we come to know self-realized state. That is why we say about all the great sages, Sukadev Goswami and others, they can come, go wherever they want. Why? They are totally in that state of consciousness. They are not limited to this body alone, isn't it? Accept the body when they want, give up the body when they want, appear where they want, disappear where they want. All these capabilities are there for a personality in that state. Navayogi's statement, if you look, you can see this. The nine sages who came to discuss with King Nimi. You remember that verse? Avyahadeshta kadaya surasiddha sadhya gandharva yaksha naragindra nagalogan. They were traveling to all these places very, very freely. How? Because they are in that state of, they are not traveling through their material bodies to all these places. And when they appeared in front of King Nimi also, they didn't come with the body. They were appearing as soon as this comes there and said that the body was there for them. As soon as they started the vision, the body appeared. Before that, the body wasn't there. So Gandharva Yaksha Nara Kinnara Naga Logan, that they could go anywhere they wanted at any time. They could travel. These are all the capacities of the soul. Capacities of the soul are unlimited. If you look into Ekadasha Skandham, it will say like that. That the Gandharva Yaksha Nara Kinnara Naga Logan. So when they came there, that Muktascharandi Municharana Bhutanada Vidyadhara Dujagavam Bhuvanani Kamam. It is in the Ekadasha Skandham in the Bhagavadam. Avyahareshta Gadaya. They can travel anywhere without any restriction. Sura Siddha Sadhya Gandharva Yaksha Nara Kinnara Naga Logan. All these different places they could travel to. Muktas Charandi, always in the liberated state. Muni Charana Bhutanada Vidyadhara. They, apart from the places where they have mentioned before, they could also go to all the other places to become to the sages. Charanas, Bhutanadas, Vidyadharas, Dvijagavas, Dvijas and Brahmanas and birds, bees, everywhere they could accept a body and reach there, whichever state they wanted to. So this freedom is there for us. For the soul also has got that freedom. But when we are conditioned within this material body, we are like this frog in the well. Doctor Frog in the well. And the Doctor Frog in the well thinks that this is the only thing, truth. This is what Prabhupada was criticizing the scientists for. He says the scientists only understand that only in this body, whatever they do is perfection. They are not even aware that there are so many different species existing, and you could reach that state where you could enter into any species and come out freely at your own will. You could do that. This is the capability of the soul. Capability of the soul. That's why it said, Avyahadeshta Kadaya Surasiddha Sadhya Gandharva Yaksha Nara Ginnara Naga Logan. All, anything you can cover in this creation, you could accept that body in there in the realized state if you want it. And you can give up that body when you want it. So the nine yogis, when they came to see Nimi, they accepted a body came. When they finished the body, they disappeared. They didn't stay. They disappeared from there. So Dr. Frog, who lives in the well, is thinking that this is the only thing we can do in this body. And nothing else we can do apart from this. This is the Dr. Frog philosophy. So, our anubhuti means our blissful state when we experience that, then we will come to know that the only way it can be shown that when you experience that only you will know that, that whatever capabilities are. So the frog in the well, he will never understand even if you keep talking about the sea. So it is from this concept is the one which is behind Mandukya Upanishad. Mandukya means frog, you see. The word Mandukya means frog. So Mandukya Upanishad is centered around this principle. Mandukya Upanishad, it is from that this Dr. Frog philosophy came. What Prabhupada is talking about. It is coming from this Mandukya Upanishad. Mandukya Upanishad talks about this. That a frog in the well situation is not good for spiritual life. In spiritual life, why do we look for spiritual life? It's not only for getting out of the material distress what we are experiencing. Apart from that, the spiritual life is also to come to terms with our real identity, means the capabilities in that state is very, very high as the spirit soul. So therefore, we have to remember this, that what the Mandukya Upanishad is saying is this, that unless we experience that state, we won't know it, what it all means, isn't it? What it all means. See, Shunnanda Vishwaha Amrdasya Putraha. So many statements you will see in the Upanishad saying like this, that here about this, you are Amrdasya Putraha, you are the son of immortality, that you are not people meant to go through this forever, continuously changing bodies. And let everybody hear about this knowledge. In other words, this knowledge of the Upanishads are saying that let this realization happen to everyone, that our spiritual identity is the true identity, and in that identity we have unrestricted capabilities there available. Vedantam evam purusham mahandam. Purushan who is inside is mahandam. He is great. He is not a small thing. And knowing him is important. And the doors are open to everyone. But many devotees, jnanis are saying to us that the door is open, but not many people are taking it. Nobody wants it. They want to stay as Dr. Frog only within their own limited body and continue to suffer from that. I mentioned about this story about Kabir, didn't I? That the Kabir conducted this test about handing over the head for the, if you want self-realization, what's the price, they asked. He said, you give me the head, then I'll give you the self-realization. Everybody left at that point. So head means, what goes away means, the false ego goes. That's what it means. The false ego goes away from there. So ultimately, handing over this false ego is that giving the head. Ultimately, handing over the false ego. If you remember, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Mahabali came to, when Vamanamurti came to Mahabali, when the sacrifice was going on, Mahabali handed over the land, all the earth planets, everything. And second, when the second feat, Vamanamurti measured the whole heavenly planets, everything, isn't it? So when the third feat, when Mahabali was asked about the third feet, where do I put my feet? Mahabali showed his head to Vamanamurti, isn't it? Put your feet on this head, the last one, he said. You may wonder, what does this mean actually, isn't it? It's a question to ask. That one foot, okay, the agreement was that I want 3 feet of land. Vamanamurti's agreement with Mahabali was, I want 3 feet of land. For the first foot, he measured the whole planets. And then the second foot, he measured all the heavenly planets also. And for the third foot, there was no place to put. Mahabali showed his head. This incident in the Bhagavatam is only to show us to us that unless you surrender your false ego to Krishna, the false ego don't go away, Krishna is not going to accept us. If you look into that verses in the Bhagavatam 8th canto, 22nd chapter, you will see there that surrendering this false ego is that third feat. Vamanamurti is putting on top of it says here, Bali Ruvacha, Mahabali is saying to Krishna, to Vamanamurti, Ye Uttama Shloka Bhavan Mameritam Vajovyaligam Suravaryam Anyade Karo Mridam Tanna Bhaved Pralambhanam Padam Triyam Kurushirshnime Nijam. He says, by now Vamanamurti has spoken to Mahabali a lot of things, what he wants and why he is asking this 3 feet, everything discussion has happened in the previous chapter. So Mahabali, Sukadeva Goswami says here that Mahabali understood that he has been cheated by Vamanamurti by asking for this 3 feet of land. Shukracharya, who was standing there, advised Mahabali not to fall into that trap. But by then Mahabali has committed, isn't it, to give the 3 feet of land. So, and try to deviate him from the truth, Shukracharya told him, don't give anything to this Vamanamurti. He is Vishnu who has come in this form, who will take everything away from you and to give it to the demigods, Aditi's children. So Mahabali know all these things. But prior to that, he told Vamanamurti, whatever you ask, I'll give it to you. Just to honor that word, Mahabali says to Shukracharya now that I cannot withdraw from that commitment what I have given. So Shukracharya told him, what will happen is you won't have even prasadam for tonight. You will become so poor. You will take away everything of you. So it was then that Mahabali understood that Vamanamurti has actually tricked him by asking for this 3 feet of land. And in 2 feet he has measured everything, and for the third feet there was nothing to offer. Bali Ruvacha, Yad Uttama Shloka Bhavan Bhaveridam. And Vajovilegam Suravaryam Anyate. Even though what you have spoken, if you are thinking, Mahabali's words to Vamanamurti, if you think what I have spoken, that I am not going to hold on to my truth, I am going to hold on to my truth. He says that I will not, whatever I have spoken will never become a cheating. He says here, Karomurdam Thanna Bhaved Pralambanam, that Padam Tridiyam Kurushirshnime Dvijam, Kurushirshnime Nijam, that if Karomurdam Thanna Bhaved Pralambanam, whatever Pralambanam, Pralambanam means from Shukracharya's side, whatever he has spoken about my position, that I am not willing to change, I am not going to change my word. Why? Padam Tridiyam Kuru Shirshnime Dvijam. You can put your feet, the third feet, on my top of my head. On top of my head. Because Mahabali did that, Mahabali's false ego, he surrendered. That is the most important lesson to learn in this. That surrendering their false ego to Krishna in that way, opportunity Mahabali has got it, nobody else got it. In whole Srimad Bhagavatam you can look at it. This one surrender of Mahabali is absolutely amazing surrender, and therefore the blessing also is equally powerful, like the way the surrender was. You see? Nobody else has been given, and remember Mahabali is the chief among the demons. So how do you say, what do you think about that? The chief among the demons, the greatest surrender and the greatest reciprocation from Vamanamurti's side also. What did Vamanamurti says to him? Vamanamurti says to him that after this you go to...
Forgive me for interrupting,
Guruji.
Nearly quarter.
Is it? Oh.
Just in case.
I'm sorry about that. We'll continue tomorrow then. Just keep on talking. Hare Krishna.
Yeah.